Professor Peter Lynham. Are you there, Peter?
I am here, yes indeed. Yes.
Now, what are we talking about this afternoon?
We're talking about the religion of Maradona.
Maradona?
I mean the world footballer Maradona. Mm. Yes.
One of the greatest footballers of all time?
Yes, and perhaps the founder of a new religion. Possibly. Because you look at the way in which the people of Argentina grieved for the death of Maradona.
Mm.
And it's, you know, faintly hysterical, unless you realize that actually it's something akin to religious worship, even, of Maradona.
Mm. Why do you think this was? Was it his greatness as a sporting hero, or was it his sort of interest in politics and sort of, I guess he was a man for the people, you know, obviously sort of supporting leftist politicians and criticizing those in power. Is it?
Yes, it's a puzzling thing how some people become the centre of that kind of adulation,
mm.
which can turn them into saints or gods or whatever. And, I mean, sometimes it just seems the luck of the draw, but the combination, I think, for Maradona was that he gave Argentinian people a sense of incredible status and success when nothing much else gave them that in their society. Mm. And then, as you say, he was from an extraordinarily poor and humble background, and his just sheer glittering achievements made him the model, the kind of person to aspire to. And these are all very close to religious values in some ways.
Mm.
And, of course, there's the famous hand of God, I mean, which is, it's so interesting how religious language was quickly associated with Maradona.
Mm. The hand of God, which has been revealed to just clearly be straight-up cheating, you know, using his hands.
Oh, of course, that's right, yes. This was an extraordinary opportunity when he couldn't head the ball, and so he snuck his hand up and pushed it into the goal in a critical match, and only his own self-admission told us that the hand of God was, in fact, his own hand, yeah.
Mm.
But I think for Argentinians, it didn't really matter because he achieved it, mm. made it, and that was the significant thing.
Mm. And I guess they'd been at war with the English, or, you know, over the Falklands only a few years before.
So I guess.
I don't know, the tension between the two would be still running pretty high.
It was a symbolic, tremendous victory.
Mm.
And Argentinians just took the blessings that it gave. And who cares about how it was achieved?
Mm.
And I mean, it's after that, I think, that he moved from being a star to being, for some people, just beyond correction. He could do nothing wrong. And he did do an enormous amount that was wrong, of course, because by this stage he was addicted to cocaine, his life was a wreck, he was proceeding from chaos to chaos, but the football star, everything could be excused.
Mm.
And indeed, you know, there was even a little group who started a Maradona religion where they set up a little temple. I mean, this is pseudo-religious talk, in a way, because, I mean, it was all modelled after other religions, and it was a kind of playful. But I do think that this kind of pseudo-religion is so close in the way it operates to other religions that we can see... I mean, if you take a lot of traditional religions, the mythologies, take Maori traditions and the like, Was there a Maui? I don't know, but it's very likely that there were figures like that who had extraordinary status and genius who inspired this kind of belief that he'd in some ways moved to live with the gods. And I think that's the kind of view of Maradona.
Someone's just texted in, surely good religious people shouldn't cheat? Question mark.
Oh, of course. But then you see this is not all religion is linked to morality. Mm. You look at the story of the Greek and Roman gods, and the Greek and Roman gods are hardly moral examples.
Yeah, all flawed in some regards.
They're very, very flawed and full of cheating and sexual games. I think another very obvious example of the same sort of feature is the Diana story, you see.
Mm.
Because the way Diana, Princess Diana, was treated when she died with astonishing kind of grief and sorrow and adulation was a reminder that Diana was in some ways a symbol of... I mean, Maradona had come from the people. Diana certainly had not come from the people.
Mm.
But she'd somehow connected with the people.
I guess, having a flawed character is more relatable to most people, you know, because no one is 100% pure.
Yes, I think that's right.
Mm.
And in a way, you strengthen it when you come clean and tell the horrible truth and do the Diana on a TV program, or Maradona's misbehaviour is, you know, widely reported in the press.
Mm.
And it doesn't seem to dent your reputation. So the phenomenon of Maradona lies in that grey area where heroes come to be viewed as divine.
Mm.
And there's a lot of evidence that this does happen for some religious leaders. I suppose in the case of Maradona, it's interesting that at the end of his life, there was this exchange of texts with Pope Francis, apparently.
Oh, just texting the Pope.
Yes, that's right. And the Pope texted him, I believe. And evidently, I mean, I don't know how much to believe these stories, but, Francis is a great one to reach out in the most unlikely of directions. And the sort of feeling of condemnation from the Catholic Church that had been there in the earlier part of his life seems to have retreated a bit. Mind you, at that stage, I mean, Maradona in his last year, it must have been awful, you know, with the brain surgery and, increasingly the body just giving up.
Mm.
So perhaps the divinization process will call a halt, and perhaps sainthood would be a better solution for him. And in the ancient world, I might say, Christianity was not beyond baptizing popular heroes to gain a bit of status from these people who were, enormously admired. Only this way can we explain how some very ragged, unsaintly people end up, at least for a while, in the church's list of saints.
Now, this small Church of Maradona, which has sprung up, which is somewhat, I guess, of a parody, do you think in like 100 years' time, something like this could have evolved into a more serious, large church?
I think probably it's unlikely, because I think the problem with popular heroes is that after a while we don't remember them.
Mm.
And so was it Pelé, the other famous footballer of the time? I mean, his name, I scratched my head to remember him, because, the legend goes when there's nothing to keep reminding us of it.
Yes.
So I think it's a bit unlikely that the energy that's been put into it by current fans, and I think they're increasingly aged, there's no sign that young people are picking up the cult of Maradona much. By the look of the crowds that were out in the streets mourning him, it was an older crowd, I think. So probably not, but on the other hand, I mean, there are various examples where martyrs become founders of religion. In a way, this is interconnected, for example, in the story of Baha'i, though I'm not suggesting that believers of Baha'i were outrageous rogues, far from it, but they began as martyrs and then became religious founders. So it sometimes does happen. It works better if the state sees value in this.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened with Roman society was that the state got into the business of turning emperors into gods, and building little shrines to them, And this kept people loyal. So if the Argentinians were kind of trying to keep the sense of, you know, a dodgy regime wanting to keep people on their side,
yes.
they would use Maradona okay. as a symbol.
Yeah. Oh, very interesting, Peter. Hey, we'll wrap it up there and we will chat to you next week.
Look forward to it. Very good.
Awesome. Thank you, Peter.
See you. Bye.